Hey, my name is Lauren Frieder, and my husband Drew and I are lead pastors at Lift Church. We are on the eastern shore of Maryland. We want to thank you so much for joining us today, and we are believing that you will get a lift of encouragement.
As I jump into this word today, we're going to pick up on week three of opportunities, and that's a sermon series the Lord put on my heart to start this sermon series because, listen, we do go through obstacles, but I believe every obstacle can be an opportunity if we give it to God, if we walk with God, if we use Scripture as a basis. He can turn any impossibility into an opportunity. Can I get an amen if you're already with me? Listen, because we're out in the sunlight, we did our best to make sure that you could access the sermon notes and follow along with scriptures because we don't have a projector. So if you haven't already, open up your smartphone or any device you have to liftsby.com/regal. R-E-G-A-L. You can do it at home as well if you're not already using your device to watch right now with us. But listen, if you go to liftsby.com/regal, all the sermon notes and scriptures right there. In fact, many of you who have heard me preach before know I'm a visual learner, and so a lot of times I visualize things as I'm teaching. So there's even some pictures on there that it is helpful to take it out. So this is your pastor telling you to take out your phone at church. Come on, you know, you've been trying to sneak it over the last few years anyway, right? Why, might as well utilize them right now for good. And so we are so excited to be here. Three more weeks of this series, we're going to talk about today the faith opportunity. Next week, I'm going to talk about what to do when you're hit. Encounter a scary, risky, dangerous opportunity. We're also going to talk about the tempting opportunity and the golden opportunity. But today, it is my hope to help you put faith in its place in every opportunity. Would you pray with me before we jump into the Word? God, I thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for the mall allowing us space to come out and meet. Thank you for the Regal opening up their doors, even before they're open, to allow us to have bathrooms and electricity. God, thank you for the sweet smells of your pie, baking up amazing pies. Father, I thank you that we are starting to get back to how things were. And Father, we ask, God, that you would protect everybody as we resume into workplaces and into worship. Father, I pray that you restore our economy, restore our families. You be the provider as you have said you will be. I thank you for providing for your house and for everyone who is at home. God, I thank you that they're able to worship with us at home safely and soundly. And Father, we are just so grateful that you're a good God. You've done it again. You've watched over us through this again. And we've had heartache and we've had some things touch close to home. But I thank you that you've done it before. You do it again and you will keep doing it again. In Jesus' name, everyone agrees with me. Sit. Amen and amen. Thank you all so very much for making it delightful as I start preaching. I'm going to share a few years ago. In fact, it was 2 years ago, as my wife and I were in the stages of, with so many of you, building a launch team to launch this church from nothing to something. And it was such an amazing journey. One of the steps of the journey was that Lauren and I were going to go for further teaching with an organization called ARC, the Association of Related Churches. And we were going to go to Portland, Oregon, where they had an intensive for launching couples to come together. And we have friends over there. Some of y'all know the Gannons over there and the Tabanowskis in that area of the woods and area of America, the woods. I don't know. I feel like it's all woods over there. Maybe it's not. You know, my sister's living in Seattle and Oregon, and we hung out there. One of the things I asked them when I was there is, like, we got some time to kill. I don't know. I just dig bookstores. We got some time to kill. they said they got one of the best bookstores in America in Portland, Oregon. I said, you got to show me where. My wife and I went. She was like, really? We're going to spend our away time at a bookstore? I'm like, give me an hour. We'll go do whatever you want for the next 4 hours. Just give me an hour. We hung out and we got some coffee, but I came across a book I've been wanting to read. It's a rare find, and it's called Decision Making and the Will of God by an author named Gary, I'm going to butcher his last name, so won't even try. And I was deciding if I wanted to buy this book or not, and I opened it, and I opened it to the perfect page because he had this great story that I want to tell you and do my best to repeat, as he said. He called it the First Supper. Many of us are familiar in Scripture with the Last Supper. That's when Jesus sat down with his disciples and they ate a meal. He told a story about the First Supper. This is Adam and Eve were just created. They met one another, and he took some liberties to decide, how does this relationship play out? And so he says that Adam comes home after a long day of work, and he's like exhausted because he's been naming animals all day long. He's been using every bit of his creative juices to just, you know, elephant, you know, anteater. Why? Because I just named ants and it's eating them. So anteater, you know, he's naming animals, and he comes home and Eve says, it's so good that you're back. And she says, but there's something happening in my stomach. I'm feeling hungry. And Adam says, me too. And she says, we should eat. And she says, what should we call this time of evening? And he says, dinner. And she says, I like that. That sounds good. You're so decisive. You got such a ring for naming things and calling things for the first time. Let's call it dinner. Now what should we eat for dinner? Let's pray and ask God. And they pray, and Adam decides this. How about I go get some supplies for dinner, and then you prepare the kitchen, and when I get back, you cook it up, we'll eat together. So Adam goes out and he prays, and he remembers God says, eat of anything in the field, just don't eat from the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. So he comes home with a load of fruit and sets it down and says, go ahead, Eve. I'm going to go out by the river and soak my feet into the river. It's been a long day. Your man's been working hard. And so he goes and sits down. About 5 minutes later, Eve says, Adam, can you help me? And he says, yes, honey, how can I help you? And she says this, I prayed and I asked God what I was supposed to prepare for dinner, but I'm not hearing anything. Could you pray and ask God what we should eat tonight? And he says, well, I'll do that. I prayed earlier. I'll ask God. He comes in the house a minute later, and he says, God didn't say anything. And she says, well, he didn't speak to you? And he says, well, sure he did. He just reminded me of what he told us earlier today. You can partake of any of the fruit of the land. Just don't eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I made sure, extra cautious, not to bring any of that fruit from home. So God said, have at it. And she says, okay, but which one? I've never made a decision before. Which fruit? And Adam's feeling his stomach grumbling. He's like, that apple looks nice. Let's stick to the apples tonight. She goes, thank you so much for being so decisive and helping me make this decision. He goes, okay, I'll be back outside. You let me know when it's done. About 2 minutes later, Adam? He says, yes, honey, what's up? And she says, I prayed and asked God how to cook the apples, but he wasn't telling me whether to make a fritter or a cobbler or to serve them raw or to make a pie. Can you pray and ask God how to make them? And Adam's like, I'll pray one more time. I'm just getting really hungry. And Adam prays, and he comes back in the house. She goes, well, what did God say? And he says, he didn't answer. And she said, what do you mean he didn't answer? He said, well, actually, he said what he told us earlier today. That is, you may eat of any of the fruit of the land, just not the tree of knowledge of good and evil. I'm getting really hungry. I didn't pick any fruit from that tree. Just cook something up. And you know, the point of the story is this. We would love it if Scripture points out everything for us. You know, do this, do that. And some people actually believe that everything is scientifically in Scripture. And while most of it is, there are things that are not, do I make apple pie tonight or peach pie? Look to Scripture, but you're not going to find that one, right? Do I go to school or do I go to work after high school? And if I go to school, which one? And if I go to work, which career field should I go to? Should I join a small group or not? Should I make a fruit salad or a Cobb salad? Should I order the baked potato or tell them, go ahead and bring me the extra rolls? Come on, Lord have mercy, right? And what should I wear today? It depends on if I told them to make me the baked potato last night or I told them to bring me the extra rolls, right? That determines what I wear today. Do I take the job or not? Do I move away or stay? We have a lot of decisions, multiple ones, that we have to make every single day. And Scripture tells us that God gives us the liberty to make some decisions. He's very clear on other decisions, and he's also very clear to say no to certain decisions. And today, I want to give you a blueprint that my wife and I have used. Maybe you'll find it helpful to you too. And this is kind of a decision-making grid to make sure that we put faith in its place on every opportunity. You know, if you're following along, I drew up this elaborate diagram. It's really nerdy of me, but that's okay. I'm comfortable in my own skin. I'm comfortable with myself. I drew it up because this is something that we process a lot, and as I was preparing for this, I thought I'd make it even clearer, as clearest as I can, because if you want to keep it, you could save it to your phone or share it, and we'll post it on social media afterwards. But we need a grid to put faith in its place in every situation. You know, so oftentimes when we encounter big decisions, we think about, what will my parents say? What will my kids say? What will my significant other say? What will my spouse say? What will my boss say? What will my friends say? What will my neighbors say? But oftentimes we have a habit, and it's not because we're bad people, but a lot of times it's almost human nature that most of us will pray last. But I encourage you, put faith in its proper place and pray first. And faith should be the first dynamic we deal with as we approach any decision. I want to help you put faith in its proper place today. We're going to look at the book of Acts. I told you in this series I would give you a hero of every single context that I'll preach. And this week, the hero is the Apostle Paul to me. Now, he's got help. He's got a community. He's got his own dream team, right? And by the way, can we stop and just thank our dream team right now? Because this doesn't happen with one or two people. This is about 45 people showing up early, 7:30 in the morning, 8:30 in the morning, saying, let's do this. Let's worship together. One more time, give it up for our dream team because they are truly amazing. The Apostle Paul, he had his own dream team. And he met with them, but what happens in the book of Acts, as we start looking at it, verse 1 says this, and I'll jump around through the chapter of 15. It says this in verse 1 and 2. While Paul and Barnabas were at Antioch of Syria, some men from Judea arrived and began to teach the believers. They said this, unless you are circumcised, as required by the law of Moses, you cannot be saved. Paul and Barnabas disagreed and said, quit being so legalistic. No, I'm sorry. That's modern day terms, right? You know, Paul and Barnabas said, you Pharisee. No, that's not what he said. They just disagreed, arguing vehemently. Say that with me. Vehemently. Come on. Say it with me. That H in the middle is a doozy. Come on. They argued vehemently. Finally, the church decided to send Paul and Barnabas to Jerusalem, accompanied by some local believers, to talk to the apostles and elders about this question. What's going on? I'm good without these. What's going on? For all of Scripture, we have learned since the time of pretty much Moses that circumcision was supposed to be a mark of faith. And believe me, I'm not camping out on this idea the whole time. But they were getting really religious and super strict about, if you are circumcised, you're of God. And if you're not, you're not. You know, quit playing games. You don't fit. And so this is what Paul says is, no, I've seen God move to the Gentiles, people who've never been circumcised. And if God would move, then maybe God's doing something new. This is a new move. And so they have to make a decision. This is a major doctrinal decision about theology. It's a paradigm change in the middle of the New Testament. Are the Gentiles, are the outsiders now included or not? And if they are included, what do they have to do to now be adopted in and considered included? It's a major, major decision that they have to make. And so what does Paul say? Paul and Barnabas said, I know what God's done in my presence, but we're going to go talk to the super disciples. We're going to talk with the 11 who walked with Jesus. We're going to go to Jerusalem and have a council, a board meeting with them and find out. It says in verse 4, when they arrived in Jerusalem, Barnabas and Paul were welcomed by the whole church, including the apostles and elders. And they reported everything God had done through them. Skip to verse 6. So the apostles and elders met together to resolve this issue. At the meeting, after a long discussion, Peter stood up and addressed them as follows. Brothers, as you all know that God chose me, this is probably how fast he spoke. Brothers, as you all know, how God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to Gentiles so that you could hear the good news and believe. I read so fast, I lost my spot. Let me try that again. God knows people's hearts. I totally lost my spot. Let me try again. Brothers, you all know that God chose me from among you some time ago to preach to Gentiles so that they could hear the good news and believe. God knows people's hearts, and he confirmed that he accepts Gentiles by giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he did to us. He made no distinction between us and them, for he cleansed their hearts through faith. So why are you now challenging God by burdening the Gentile believers with a yoke that neither we nor our ancestors were able to bear? We believe that we are all saved the same way by the undeserved grace of the Lord Jesus. And some people in the room started going, come on, they're snoring. They're like, I don't know what any of this means, but Peter's on a roll. Verse 12, everyone listened quietly, except for the snoring guy, as Barnabas and Paul told about the miraculous signs and wonders God had done through them among the Gentiles. And when they had finished, James stood up and he said, brothers, listen to me. Skip forward to verse 19. My judgment is that we should not make it difficult for the Gentiles who are turning to God. Instead, we should write to them and tell them to abstain from eating food offered to other idols, from sexual immorality, from eating the meat of strangled animals. Stay away from that stuff. And by the way, don't drink blood from consuming blood. That sounds good. Verse 22, then the apostles and elders, together with the whole church in Jerusalem, chose delegates, and they sent them out to tell this new decision to everyone. Now, I know that that's a longer portion of Scripture, but I just wanted you to see that when it comes to making decisions, some decisions that maybe God has not spoken of yet, or maybe God's left it up to you to make this decision, there is a system, there is a protocol, there are some great habits to have instead of just saying, I feel like it. Come on. You know, a lot of people will say, well, I feel like it, or I think God wants me to be happy, and so I shall do. Listen, that's not the way people in Scripture made decisions. It was not feeling-based. In fact, feeling-based decisions lost King Saul the throne. He lost the people of God as the leader from just saying, we can't wait any longer. I feel like it's smart. Right? We have to have a word of God or a decision-making process that includes faith first. And then, if God wants us to make a decision, we shall know that we've done it in good faith. So let me help you out a little bit with this really nerdy diagram I drew up. I know, come on. It's awesome. You know, you're like, how do I even navigate this if you're looking on your phone right now? And if you're not looking on your phone, I'll do my best to explain it. Let's backtrack to 1 and 2. Verse 1 and 2. Paul and Barnabas have run into people who say, you can't do it like this. They don't belong. And Paul and Barnabas said, I believe that's changed. I've seen what God has done. And so they are encountering a major decision. And the first thing that they do is they say, we are going to see what God says on the matter. Now, in the book of Acts, they haven't written the Bible by now. They're not going, hey, hold on. Let me open up to the book of Mark. just got published, you know, 10 months ago. It's hot off the press. Let me look. No. They're just doing their best to follow God's voice and what they have heard from the Old Testament passed on. And so the first thing they do is they say, what has God said anything on the matter? And we too, when faced with opportunities, should put faith in the first place. Matthew 6:33, Jesus said this, there's so many things that you could be worried about, but check this out, before anything else, before worrying about what your spouse says, your parents say, your kids say, your neighbors are going to say, your boss is going to say, before anything else, put God's work first and do what He wants. Then the other things will be yours as well. God says, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first. Look at your neighbor right now from a distance and say, seek first. If you're at home, tell somebody on the couch, seek first. We've got to decide, what does He say first? So oftentimes, if I'm telling on myself, my feelings come first. Oh, I don't want to do that. You ever had God nudge you to go tell somebody about the gospel, and they're twice the size of you, and they, you know, they've cussed out the last four people they've talked to, and you're just like, I don't think that's a good idea. I'm not feeling that one, God. And God says, I want you to go anyway. That's another story for another day. That happened to me in Blockbuster Video back when you had to go to the store to rent that thing. Come on, any of y'all know the pain of not sitting on your couch with Netflix? Come on, let me hear you. Blockbuster Video, it's where it's at. Fortunately for us today, the Bible will help us make decisions. We're not like Peter and Paul and Barnabas who are trying their best to remember. We can ask this first question, has God spoken to this situation yet? More pointedly for you and I, what does the Bible have to say about this decision? From that, you will either get a, has the Bible spoken to this before? Yes. Or, no, I don't think it has. Let's assume the Bible has spoken to it. Then you go to the top part of that chart where you now have to ask the question, and we say, does God approve of this decision or does He disapprove? Does Scripture say, yes, go ahead with it, or does Scripture say, no? If Scripture says no, then we got to ask a simple question. Why does Scripture say no? Does it say no because I've read Scripture and it says pointedly, don't do that, right? You know, so many times today we tried to twist many different things, right? And so we could ask the question, does Scripture speak to this? And the answer is yes, it does speak to this. You know, like, should I sleep with him just to see if we're compatible before marriage? Scripture speaks to that, and it speaks definitively to say no. I feel like getting a divorce because I should be happy, and does Scripture speak to this if there's been no adultery or something like that? Scripture speaks directly to it, and it doesn't say consider feelings, right? Should I withhold my tithes to catch up? There's so many different things that Scripture speaks to my wife and I about, and to you as well, and so we have to look at that first and say, whether my feelings match up or not, God has decided on this, and so 100% of the times that Scripture is against it, I will choose to pass on that opportunity, right? 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all Scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. Check this out. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip His people to do every good work. So we got to look to Scripture and say, you know what? I don't understand why it's a no, but I trust it. And so from now on, listen, sometimes I read Scripture and I realize, oops, I've been messing up for the last little bit, right? What do I do when that happens? God doesn't say, nope, you can't come back from that. No, God just encourages me to repent, turn, make a 180 degree turn, ask for forgiveness, and go and sin no more. What did He do to the adulterous woman? He said, go and sin no more. And so sometimes you read it, I don't know about you. Sometimes I'll read it and I'll go, oh, need to make some changes right there. I'm sorry, God, for the way I've handled the last few decisions in this area. But God, give me the strength to live this way from now on. I had to do that with my purity when I gave my life to Jesus Christ at 20 years old. But I want to tell you that when you turn from your sin and go and sin no more, God will help you overcome that as he did in my life as well. Many different areas like this. Now, if Scripture disapproves and the answer is, well, I'm unsure of the word. I don't know if I interpreted it right, or I'm not sure if the way he says it for them applies for me, then simply this: seek advice from a pastor or a spiritual leader. That's why I love small groups. In fact, today's Small Group Sunday. I want to encourage you, if you're out here with us, before you leave, there are tables over here because we are launching small groups today, a shorter summer semester. If you're online, make sure you go to our website. It'll appear on the link right now. Pastor JT will pop it up, but it's on our site. Make sure you join a small group, because sometimes I just got to ask a question and I can't ask it on Sunday. And so I find out, hey, how did you navigate this situation? What did you do? I'm telling you right now, I'm so grateful to be a part of a community of pastors. I'm even pastored by pastors so that I can reach out to them and go, what are you doing? Are you opening your doors this week or not? What decisions are you making for the church, right? Because I don't want to do it alone. I want to do it in community, and I want to make sure that I'm reading Scripture and interpreting it right when the Bible talks to it. Amen? You following me? Is this helpful for anybody? Okay, good, good. Praise the Lord. Otherwise, I'm just talking to myself. Right? Seek advice from a leader. I love, my wife and I, a decade of the youth pastors. We were in youth ministry 5 more years before that. I love when youth would come up to us and say, hey, listen. I remember it was 2011. They come up to us and they say, a new movie just dropped. All my friends are going to see it. It's called The Hangover. Should I go watch it? Well, I don't know. But by title alone, there's probably some content that is probably not in line with how we as followers of Jesus are supposed to live. Like, okay, let's look it up. And okay, it's basically got every reason not to watch it under the sun. And so I love it when people say, you know what? All my friends are going, but I trust God and I'm going to put faith first. But do you know, a lot of people said, I trust God, but I like my friends more. They didn't say that out loud, but sometimes our actions speak louder than words, right? You know, we got to ask ourselves, does faith play a role in our decision making first, or is it just there whenever it's convenient for my feelings? Right? We got to let God speak first. And so I love our small groups. We're going to talk. We got some small groups for social justice, women's connections, men, and I'm doing one for golf because I'm no good at golf, but I think it's sunny and it's good to get out there. I'm calling it men and mulligans because I'm going to need at least 3 mulligans when I go out there myself, right? We got bi-weekly worship and hangout. We got youth small groups. We got stuff. Check out our small groups before you leave. So let's go back and assume that Scripture speaks to this, but God approves of it. Then I now ask this question: has God used me in similar ways? The Bible says in verse 12 that everyone listened quietly as Paul and Barnabas told about the miraculous signs and wonders that God had already done through them. Paul and Barnabas weren't saying, hey, I think y'all should change the theology. Y'all should change the Bible. Why? I don't know. It just sounds like a good idea. That wasn't Paul and Barnabas' approach. They said, we had an experience. We thought outsiders weren't going to receive, and God spoke up and received. Peter stood up and said, I had the same experience. And so now all of a sudden people are going, wait a second, maybe God's moving in this way. You know, we got to ask ourselves, if God and Scripture approves of it, then has God used me in a similar way? Launching a church. Come on. Yeah. When my wife and I were launching a church, many different people and leaders asked, has God used you in a similar way? Have you led something like this before? You know, my wife and I wanted to be, over a decade ago, we were stepping into ministry. Somebody offered us a youth pastor position, but we weren't ready. And so our leader said, you've only preached once. How about you stay connected with our youth ministry and preach four more times over the next year, and then let's talk about it. Let's see how God uses you. You get what I'm saying? So, you know, missionaries, they don't just send you overseas and fund you because I thought of it yesterday. People are going to ask you, has God used you in a similar way? Have you reached a soul in America before you're going to go reach souls in Africa? You get what I'm saying? Like, let's see if God's used me in this way. If he has not, let's hold tight and wait for confirmation. That doesn't mean a no. It just means maybe not yet. And if it has, then I move forward and I just simply ask the questions that's in front of me. That is, does my spirit confirm it? Does my leaders confirm it? Does my context confirm it? How does this line up? So I need to wrap up, but I do want to finish by saying this. There are some ways that Scripture doesn't speak to. Do I make a Cobb salad or a fruit salad? And I'm trying to jump ahead into my notes as I wrap up. But we got to ask this question. When Scripture doesn't speak and give us a guide, then the question my wife and I now ask is, have we learned anything from past experiences with this? You know, do I buy the house or do I rent? I don't know. The last house we bought, we didn't ask many people. Had broken plumbing. The roof needed to be repaired. I had no clue. Cost thousands of dollars. So have we done this before? Yes. Maybe we should ask for more help before we do it again. Does that make sense? Like, have we gone through a similar experience? And if so, how can we ask people of faith for some wisdom? Sometimes wisdom is huge. And if we haven't learned anything from the past, then we just move to the next question. But if we have, then we need to ask the question, have we gained any wisdom? Is this still worth pursuing? I just want to finish with this story. My wife and I, no, not my wife and I. This is before my wife. I was dating a girl before I got saved, and the Lord used a number of circumstances along with her to bring me to a church like this where I met Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and I gave my life to him, and everything changed at that point. And it was at that point that I had a new decision-making process. Everything was new. It was like I was born again. It was like a fresh start, and I was trying my best to make the best decisions. Well, that relationship with that girl, we thought we were headed to marriage. I talked to Dad if I could get the approval. He said, sure. But things started going south in our relationship. I later found out it was because I learned I was called to ministry. But when I met her, I was in a touring band, and she thought she was signing on to a touring musician. Now I'm going to be a pastor. She's like, hold up. I love Jesus, but I ain't no pastor's wife. I thought the way to fix it is if I could just get a ring on it, you know, it'll all solve everything. That's a lack of wisdom. Can you see that? You see now? That's why we need some help. Young people, get a mentor. Ask some people. There's wisdom in the multitude of counsel. I didn't want multitude of counsel. I wanted to try to fix it on my own. Maybe I was dealing with shame, guilt. I don't know. How do I fix it on my own? And so I asked the dad, and the dad says, sure, we'd love to have you in the family. So I bought a ring. But things kept going further and further down south, and we finally I said, forget it, this is not working. We split up. I didn't know how to tell Mama. We split up. I went to Mom one day and I said, she won't be coming to dinner. Oh yeah, why not? She busy? No, we broke up. Yeah, come on, you know what I'm talking about. We broke up. I don't want to talk about it. My mom said, oh yeah. I said, wait, how do you really feel? She said, that's fine. We didn't even really like, we like her. We just didn't like what you were doing. I was like, oh, God. Why didn't you tell me? She said, quite frankly, you didn't ask. So it wasn't my place. You didn't ask. And I learned at that point, I was needing the wisdom, the multitude of counsel. And I needed to listen to the people that were around me. And so, you know, I got to ask the question, have we learned anything from this? Have I gained any wisdom from this? I had made a decision. You know why? Can I be transparent? And I don't like this about myself. The reason I didn't ask is because I was brand new to full-on Christianity, following Jesus with everything. And I questioned if my mom's faith was going to work. She doesn't like her because she's zealous like me. And my mom and I had a one-on-one about that later, and I apologized, and I realized I was wrong, and I was prideful, and I decided I'm not going to make that decision again. So when this blonde walking our youngest blonde to the bathroom right now, come on, this is perfect timing. You got it, Gianna. It's going to be good. All right. When this blonde walked into my life, one of my first questions as I went to my mom, once she got to know her, I said, how is it? She said, I was thinking, she loves the Lord fervently. I don't know if mom's going to be cool. Mom said, we love her. We love her. And so sometimes when Scripture doesn't speak, we got to make sure that we got people around us who are asking us questions, investing in us, and we got to ask this question, is it spiritually advantageous? Will my faith get better or worse because of this decision? And I proceed from there. Listen, if your faith is going to get worse from taking a job 2 hours away, then I don't care how much it pays. I would rather have heaven than to gain the whole world and lose my soul, right? And so we got to slow down and put faith in first place in every decision. And I went too long, and I'm sorry. Maybe it was the first time we were back in person. Forgive me. But listen, if you need more wisdom, we're launching a college right here, Southeastern University at Lift Church. You can earn accredited bachelor's and associate's degrees in general studies and ministerial leadership because we want to add wisdom. Most importantly, what does Scripture say? And when it doesn't, give you a solid foundation to making decisions. Here's my prayer right now, that we would all seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. That means His way and not our way. And we trust that everything else shall be added unto us. Right now, I pray over everyone listening, everyone here, everyone in their cars, everyone at home, that Father, as difficult as it is in every situation, help us put faith in first place. When our feelings conflict, help us put faith in first place. And God, I pray against any sort of condemnation right now. Father, you don't work in condemnation, but you do in conviction. If there is anything that is wrestling upon anyone's hearts, let it be settled right there, right here, right now, between you and them. And then let it be different. Go and sin no more. Be free from that. You are not held guilty. Once you've laid it at the cross right now, if you've got something in your heart, just lay it at the cross. Literally, figuratively, metaphorically, I don't care. It's time to let it go. Lay it at His cross. Come on, that big decision. Oh, come on, I know there are huge, monstrous decisions in front of a lot of you right now. Lay it at the cross right now. Have you asked God in prayer? Don't make them last. Make them first. Father, I pray you speak to them through your Holy Spirit. And just as I pray against condemnation, I pray against cross condemnation. Father, this message, let it stay in our own lane. Let it not become something to be used to our left or to our right, but right now, just in our own heart, let us wrestle with it. Be right with you. The best opportunity is the one lived out in faith. This church wouldn't be here if it wasn't for faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. God's got big plans for every single person here. He's got a huge, huge win on the brink of your future. Will you step out in faith? Or will faith slip into last place or even not there at all? Come on. I pray you hold faith first and let God lead you into your destiny in Jesus' mighty name. And anyone who agrees with that gives a loud amen and amen. Come on.